fact that you're not starting off this show?
No, because I like it.
Thanks. Make me do all the work. Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
I was out on Wednesday.
You were.
I was covering for Ryan.
You were.
So, I don't like what you said about me on Wednesday, Francis. Yeah, I just put the full name blast out there. What's up? Anyway, you know, happy to be back, you know, everything like that, blah, 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 blah. What did I really miss? Nothing.
Yeah.
I covered for Ryan. There was plenty to talk about, yeah. And there was the nightcap to do that, too. So I really didn't miss anything here. It's okay. You stole Brayton, and...
I did.
And you guys talked a bit about hockey, so...
A lot about hockey.
Why should we just... You know what? Let's pawn that off for a little bit. Let's not talk about hockey for a moment. No,
why?
There's nothing wrong with me. But think about it. The Leftovers Podcast lately has become a hockey podcast.
For obvious reasons.
Lately. Yes, I know. For obvious reasons. But lately. So we got to start it off fresh. Start it off something different. This is what happens when I'm back on the back of the steering wheel here, okay? If I could talk, that'd be great. So here's my big thing. Imagine watching basketball.
Okay.
And hating LeBron James.
A lot of people do.
But I need help explaining this. This dude continues to do everything. The latest one, the Game 6, Boston, Cleveland. Cleveland ties up the series. Game 7 tonight. What the crap? 46 points, 5 of 7 from 3-point range. The dude, J.R. Smith, and Tristan Thompson are useless offensively. J.R. Smith might just be useless, period, right now in this series. And at least to Tristan Thompson's credit, he plays defense. And Kevin Love got knocked out in the first quarter of that game.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, the games that they've won, Kevin Love has scored a combined 22 points.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
LeBron just puts the team on his back.
LeBron is the team.
He's literally
the rest of the team jumps on his back.
Game 7 is literally a Bron versus the Celtics.
It's Bron versus the Celtics for Game 7 here. And, Frank, this went exactly the way that we thought it was going to. Long series, and I'm still not betting against LeBron James because
no.
LeBron James in elimination games is an unstoppable force.
Yeah.
And it's not fair.
Yeah.
And you know what? And here's my biggest thing about this LeBron-Jordan thing, okay? One, they play completely different positions. So I don't care to ever compare them, ever. Simple as that. They are amongst the best basketball players to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple as that. And they play two different positions.
Mm-hmm.
That's like me saying, who's the greatest player of all time, Dominic Hasek or Wayne Gretzky? And then you go, what? Why do I have to compare the goalie and the forward?
Yeah. It's hard to do that.
Yeah, Dominic Hasek is the best goalie in the world of all time. Don't at me.
I think so.
So, anyway. That's my big thing, is that if you try to make it a LeBron versus Jordan comparison, you're blinding yourself to what the glory is of watching LeBron do his thing. Now, I know there are people that are going to naturally hate him. Teams in the East, particularly Boston. People that think he should never have left Miami after he left Cleveland. People that think he should have never left Cleveland before he left for Miami. So there's those people that
he's
their blinders
the
are going to be on, and it's going to never, ever, ever change.
He's also the best.
But he is.
But
and this is
remember,
why this is why Bills fans cannot stand Tom Brady. It's because of the fact that he's constantly in the way. That's LeBron James is constantly in the way for teams in the Eastern Conference. So I get that.
And also, he's the best player in the world.
He's the best player in
people
the world.
People hate the best player. People will hate the best player in the world because he's the best player in the world.
I get that, but you also
it's
have to have...
the same thing with Sidney Crosby.
You also have to have success, which, I mean, therein lies with Crosby because no one's really hating Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Everyone's feeling bad for him right now.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah,
no.
But Crosby's had success. LeBron
you
has
do
had
make,
so much
You do make a good point on that.
People will hate him for
Here's
it.
The other problem, though. Talking heads like Skip Bayless and Colin Cowherd say stupid things and get paid to say stupid things.
Yeah.
I wish I got paid to say stupid things. I'm going to say a stupid thing right now. Pudding. There. Where's my money? Thanks, jackasses. There you go. I got it for you. I broke
God.
Frank, by the way, guys.
You.
I broke
I'm
Frank.
Done. I was not expecting you to say pudding. I was at least expecting you to say something relevant to the topic, and you say pudding.
Look, man.
This is what I have to deal with.
But I'm just saying, people get paid to say stupid things all the time.
I know.
I want in.
I know.
I'm pretty good at it, apparently. But anyway, to say something a lot like, Skip Bayless, to his credit, continues his hatred of LeBron James on a consistent basis. And that's the only thing I will ever give the man to his credit. There, that is something stupid relevant to the conversation.
Yeah, you credit Skip Bayless.
I gave credit to Skip Bayless for a thing.
Jeez,
other than...
what's wrong with you?
Other than failing at not breathing. Wow, that was harsh.
That's pretty harsh.
I don't care. I said pudding, Frank.
I know you did.
Anyway. No, this has been an amazing accomplishment to see LeBron James pretty much put a team on his back and drag it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
He's dragging the lifeless corpse of everybody in the Cavs organization. And he's carried them to a Game 7, which is tonight. And if they win tonight, he is literally dragging them to the NBA Finals.
No, yeah, and the biggest thing about this reminds me of their first, not their, LeBron James' first NBA Finals appearance. So that would be the Cavaliers' first NBA Finals appearance.
Yeah, it was like 2007, I believe?
I think it was...
It was 2007.
Let me check that out.
Because after that, the Celtics made it the last couple years because they won it, I think, the next year.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Celtics-Lakers then the next like 2 years or something like that. Because I think they... Cavs lost to the Spurs. They got swept by the Spurs.
Yes, they got swept by the Spurs. It was 2007, Frank. Yes.
Hey, I called it.
There you go. I just wanted to make sure it was right. And no, that was just... I could not believe that. I mean...
No, but it's pretty much the same thing. He's just putting the team on his back and just doing it all himself. And he is carrying
Are you ready for
team.
This roster, by the way?
It's going to be hot garbage, right?
Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
What the?
First off, I love that. I got to say that name and I didn't butcher it. First try.
I am impressed.
Drew Gooden, Larry Hughes, Daniel Gibson.
What?
And Shannon Brown. That's your starting five.
What is this roster?
Bad?
Yeah.
Danielle Marshall.
What?
David Wesley. Eric Snow.
No, you got to remember, too, this was also 11 years ago, so at the time, probably a couple of those names are a little more relevant.
Yes, but LeBron James was still only making the fifth biggest salary on that team.
And he was still doing it all himself.
Larry Hughes was making $13 million. Who the hell is Larry Hughes?
Someone making $13 million in 2007.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And he got an NBA Finals appearance out of it.
Yeah.
But no, this reminds me of that year, though, when LeBron James took an 2007 Cavs team to the NBA Finals, and that was just, what? Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, it is, and see what happens tonight.
Then they rightfully got swept by the Spurs because that was a bad team, and the Spurs had a big three before big threes were a thing.
Yeah, and they're also the Spurs.
You know, it was Manu, it was Duncan, it was Ginobili. Oh, Manu, Parker, and Duncan. Sorry.
Yep.
I doubled up on my Manu Ginobili
and then
by saying his first
Pops.
Name and then his last name.
And then obviously Pops.
And then you got the coach Greg Popovich, of course. This is going to be the same result if he gets Cleveland to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Because Houston decided to forget that they had a chance to close out the Golden State Warriors. You had a 17-point first quarter lead.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Houstoning.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, but that, oh man, I know that you were the road team and you were an underdog in the betting line, but you were up 17 with 3/4 of play left to go. There is no more of, and yes, you didn't have Chris Paul, but there is no more of an advantageous situation than that you, all you had to do was not suck the rest of the game.
Yeah.
17 points? Just don't suck at your job. Simple as that. All the people at WGR suck at their job.
Wow.
Never, ever forget Weiner line voice.
It's true.
It's just a habit that will never die for me. I mean, working the morning show, you know, every now and then, Jeremy or Howard will throw in the Weiner line voice, and it stays with you. It does. It really does. But anyway, all you had to do was be competent for three quarters, and a 17-point lead would get you there.
We're going to see another.
They got outscored by 46. Since that point.
We're gonna see another Warriors-Cavs series, aren't we?
Probably. And I did this on Friday's very, very short version of the nightcap, where it was a glorious 20 minutes, and it was only 7 minutes of me actually talking. But
nice.
Do you know who the Sabres' leading scorer was the last time it wasn't Cavs Warriors? Off the top of your head, no looking it up. 2014, the year.
That was the year?
That was the year.
It was Cody Hodgson. He scored 20 goals that year.
It was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
The beginning of the
tank.
That
was the beginning of the tank.
That was the Ville Leino zero goals season. Trending Buffalo did a giveaway of cash money.
Yeah.
I think it was $1,000. I think I remember this because I entered the contest.
They would give away $1,000 if Leino scored.
They gave $1,000 to one person who had entered the contest if Ville Leino did not score a single goal in the season.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He didn't.
Yeah.
That's the last time that we haven't had Warriors-Cavs.
And
as your NBA final.
That year?
They got Reinhardt that year.
No. Not the Sabres. The NBA Finals was, I believe, Spurs Heat.
It was. You are correct. Sensing a pattern here.
Oh my God.
There it is. Like, that's the last time. It's so cool to look at.
What was the year last time LeBron was not in the finals? Was it 2010?
Yes.
So the Miller-Vezina year?
Mm-hmm.
My God.
It's funny looking back on these things.
My God, man.
And if this still continues, then it's going to be even funnier to look back on it. Well, I mean, honestly, this might be the last time you can genuinely look back on it because Boston's going to be back with Kyrie Irving,
and
with
Gordon Hayward,
and the team that they have now that's putting
problems
on the Eastern Conference.
With Tatum,
with Rozier.
With Horford, Smart.
Marcus Smart. They have tons of pieces.
That is such a deep team. And they got one of the best coaches, too.
In Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
So this might be the last time we get to genuinely reflect on when the last time was.
This might be the last year LeBron makes the finals. Depending on what happens after this year, obviously.
I'm seeing a large posterior because I'm going to say, but...
I'm saying in terms of that streak that
with the Cavs, Frank.
Well, I'm saying it might be the end of the streak of him going to the finals because
it might be the end of the.
We don't know what is gonna happen after this season. He might leave in free agency and go to another team,
but he might also recruit players to come to him.
He might,
and if he does, it's a better chance than whatever the hell they have right now on that roster to compete and get back to the NBA Finals. If he coordinates it properly, you could see him being back in the NBA Finals, but not the Cavs.
I think it depends on what team he's on.
Exactly. Like I said, he would have to coordinate it properly.
There was all the rumors last year that this summer it was going to be him and Paul George going to the Lakers together.
Imagine, oh God, could you imagine how LeVar Ball would take that?
Now there's also rumors of Philly going to try to recruit LeBron.
And that makes some sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
They have a distributor.
If they do that, if LeBron goes to Philly next year, that final streak would
The one thing I do have a concern
likely
about that,
continue.
We talked about this with Lou DiBiase before.
Yeah.
The one thing I have a concern about that is Ben Simmons. Dude can't spot up a jumper to save his life. So there's that. LeBron's future is not even something that I need to talk about right now, even.
Yeah, because we don't really know.
We don't know.
There's time with that.
There's time with that.
Yeah, a few weeks.
As for the Rockets, shame on you. You had your chance. That was probably your best chance to close it out.
Warriors are going to win Game 7.
Yeah. Golden State has engaged. They are mad. They're going to be there, and it's going to be Dunyans. And if we get another Cavs-Warriors series, by God, mercy, just have mercy on LeBron James. I don't want to see him go out like this.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him going out like this, man. Come on. But yeah, that's my NBA talk there. I think that I can't doubt it anymore. With these Game 7s, I'm picking the Cavs, I'm picking the Warriors, and the streak continues.
The streak continues, and the Warriors will win another title.
Yes. Yes.
They got four, the big four.
Yes. They've got that Kevin Durant guy.
They'll probably sweep the Cavs.
I think that Cleveland will take one game at home.
Maybe.
Because LeBron. That's it. I can't doubt this man.
Yeah.
I can't.
You can't.
And I will never compare him to Michael Jordan because one was a guard. The other was a forward.
Yeah.
They played in two different eras where elbows were not seen as flagrant fouls.
Yeah.
In Jordan's time. And offense is more important than ever in LeBron's time. Do I think that if you put them in different eras, anything would be different? No. LeBron is such a gifted athlete that it would not have mattered what era he was in. If he was in the rough and tumble back in the day, guess what? Dude has the body to take any sort of punishment. He would have been fine.
He would have been.
And if MJ was here now?
He probably would be better than what he was.
I think he'd still be the same guy. Cutthroat. Gonna beat you no matter what. Take me one-on-one. I'll still get you. You know? Like, try to defend the man.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I dare you. That's how it is. So it wouldn't matter. Those two are guys that would be transcendent in any era that they played in. Because they are transcendent talents. But one's a forward, one's a guard. Can I really compare the two of them? No, I can't. Granted, I'm also staying in my lane. I'm not the strongest basketball fan. I'm more casual. But you can't deny what LeBron James has done for basketball. Just like how you can't deny what Michael Jordan has done for it.
Yeah.
Yes, LeBron James has lost NBA finals. But Michael Jordan has lost conference finals. It happens. Teams lose. And that's the emphasis point here. Teams lose. It's natural. It's going to happen. I know that Michael Jordan wasn't perfect in the playoffs. If you want to point out his 6-0 record in the NBA Finals, that's great. It's like pointing out that Tom Brady has 5 rings. But guess what? Tom Brady's lost 2. He's lost in the NBA Finals. Guess what?
He's lost 3.
Yeah, I know. If someone tells me that they've got a problem with LeBron being the best ever, and then they say that Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time? Now you got problems with me. Because you're using something that there's a similar argument being used here.
It's a Derek rant.
It's not a rant. I'm not really angry here. I'm just calling you a hypocrite if that's the case. I mean, not you personally, but you know what I mean.
Well, somebody who probably...
Who's using this argument saying that Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time, but LeBron James is not the best player of all time in the NBA. Don't you think you're kind of being a hypocrite? Because Tom Brady's
that person's also probably a Patriots fan.
You're probably not wrong. But my big point at the end of the day is this. Wins and losses still count as a team sport, a team statistic.
Yeah.
Kyle Orton won 9 games for the Buffalo Bills. Is he awesome? No. He's okay. He won 13 with the Bears once. I think it was 11, maybe 11 or 13, one of them. It's an odd number.
I think it was 11.
Yeah. But still. Is he good?
Nah. I mean, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I mean, just Joe Flacco won one.
Yeah.
He actually, like, he won it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he Trent Dilford his way to it.
No.
He did play well.
Yeah.
But is Joe Flacco elite? Only to Joe Flacco.
Heh. Only to Joe.
Because if he was actually good, they wouldn't have drafted Lamar Jackson.
This is true.
So, yeah, whatever. Frank, you get me sick, I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to try not to.
All right. We went this long. It's actually kind of an impressive stretch.
That was very impressive.
That we haven't talked hockey.
But we have to.
And we're still not going to talk hockey for a moment.
We have.
No, there's one thing left.
What do you got?
There's one thing left. Sal Capaccio and Josh Reed were in on Friday.
Okay,
they were. They talked about the quarterback battle.
Yeah.
And they said something that's really got me not necessarily nervous for the Bills, but nervous for the fan reaction and the outside reaction from outside of Buffalo. Nathan Peterman is going to factor into this competition more than we initially thought.
I'm not surprised.
And the two of them said that he looked the best in OTAs so far. Yes, it's OTAs. It's shorts. I don't care about their actual performance there. What I do care about is what this coaching staff thinks of him, of Peterman. What I do care about is if McCarron doesn't play well, Nathan Peterman, like, if McCarron doesn't play well and Josh Allen still isn't ready, very realistic.
Yeah.
Very realistic, by the way.
Yeah.
Nathan Peterman starts for the Buffalo Bills.
Right. I expect that.
Like I said, very realistic. When you, if you were to ask me before OTAs, what are the chances, percentage-wise, that you think that it goes for the starting quarterbacks? And I answered a 60-30-10. 60% McCarron.
Right.
30% Allen. 10% Peterman. Now, that is not a surefire thing. Because I'm remembering that this coaching staff likes Nathan Peterman. Kick me in the nads aside. They like him.
If he's showing the promise, if he's showing the work.
And this is what I'm nervous about. You ready?
Hmm.
If Josh Allen's not ready, and AJ McCarron just Chad Henne's all over the place or something. I love that.
Sure.
That's my description.
That's your, yeah, okay.
It's always my description.
Yeah.
And I always end up explaining it. Now I don't have to. Then the national media is going to rip it apart. You want to know why? And fans are going to think this too. Fans that would have liked to have, look, I would have loved to have Josh Rosen. I would have killed for Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I'm not going to say this, but I know it's going to be said. Because I'm done fighting it now. I'm embracing Josh Allen because of the fact that he is the Bills quarterback. I want to be wrong. Bring it. Let's make me look stupid. I said pudding. Okay?
You did.
I don't need help looking stupid, but do it. If Nathan Peterman is the starting quarterback in week one of this season, people are going to say, to this extent, why did you draft a quarterback 7th overall if he can't beat out Nathan Peterman, who threw 5 interceptions in the first half of his very first start? It's going to be an unbalanced take. It's going to be a bit of an unfair take against Peterman. But the dude did throw 5 interceptions in the freaking first half of his first freaking start. And you know what that means? That means that people are going to go ahead and say, oh, same old Bills. Here we go, 17 more years of their jackassery.
Well, what about the other teams who drafted? Now, besides Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, because you know that it's very likely he'll sit behind Flacco for at least a year. And obviously Mason Rudolph was taken by Pittsburgh, and he'll sit behind Roethlisberger.
Let's just worry about the 5.
Let's worry about the other guys.
Let's worry about the other four
quarterbacks.
Let's toss Mason Rudolph in the recycle bin then.
Yeah. So there's Allen, where more likely he will sit behind both McCarron and Peterman so that he is not thrown into the fire when he is not ready. If he is ready, he will start.
If he's ready, he'll prove it and he'll play. His way in.
Exactly. But if he's not ready, he's not going to play.
Of course, which is what I suspect.
Let's look at the other three quarterbacks, Rosen, Darnold, and Mayfield.
Because we think that Lamar is going to be sitting.
Yes. Josh Rosen, as of right now, is also third on the Arizona Cardinals depth chart.
Well, you shelled out money for Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon. And
yes,
again,
and then you trade up to draft Rosen.
And unless Rosen lights the world on fire, which he very well capably can, I don't think that they – look, Bradford, for all of his injury –
at very best, Rosen's going to start the season as a backup.
Because for all of his injury woes, Sam Bradford is actually a decent quarterback.
Yeah.
Next up, Cleveland. Baker Mayfield, Tyrod Taylor.
Went first overall.
But everyone knows what's coming there. Hugh Jackson said that Tyrod's going to be the starter. Tyrod has to lose his way out of this one, and trust us when we say this, Cleveland fan, he's not going to lose it because he never loses it. The problem is that he never wins. He never wins it for you. He just doesn't lose. He doesn't lose you a game, so he's not going to lose the quarterback competition. He's going to play capably enough. And that was what it was between him, Castle, and EJ, was that he looked the best out of a group of him, Matt Castle, and EJ Manuel.
Yeah. But now?
But Tyrod didn't lose. Remember that. He did play well. But I thought Castle lost the job.
Yeah.
And EJ was EJ.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do anything.
So, Sam Darnold.
We're reading that Teddy Bridgewater might start week one. Dude's looking healthy, which is exactly when they signed him. I thought, why the hell did they need to draft a quarterback? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, and then they traded up to three.
Yeah.
And then they took Darnold. So where's Darnold going to be?
Probably a backup.
But then you also have McCown.
I don't know if Josh McCown's healthy. He did break his throwing hand.
He did.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So, it's not
Here's
about...
the thing.
It's not about that.
We know it's an open
It's not about this. Ready? It's this. This is what makes this take different than anything else's. This is what makes Josh Allen more polarizing than anyone else. One, it is the fact that he is someone that you either loved him or you hated him.
Right.
In the draft process. Fans were either terrified of him or they loved that big arm and all those measurables.
Right.
It's also... who do you have to beat? Sam Bradford is a former number one overall pick. Tyrod Taylor is loved nationally.
Yeah.
And he helped the Bills break a 17-year playoff drought.
Yep. Teddy Bridgewater is coming back.
That
sidelined his career for 2 years.
And he is a former first-round pick and a guy that everyone thought was going to take that promising next step before his knee decided it wanted to quit doing things.
For 2 years.
Well, I mean... the incident was just the thing about it quitting.
That's what I mean.
He was working back from it. That's what took 2 years. But, yeah, no. Teddy Bridgewater's knee decided, hey, Matthew Collar's coming.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. Sorry, Collar.
Wow.
But look, when he says the tweet, I just got here
I know.
On that day, I it kind of just makes for that nice little commentary.
Whoops.
And now, who you have to beat out. And Lamar Jackson has to beat out Joe Flacco, a Super Bowl champion, who, fairly or unfairly, got paid a boatload of money.
Yeah.
And if Nathan Peterman is the reason that Josh Allen is number two on the depth chart, say like there's an McCarron injury or something, if Nathan Peterman is above Josh Allen, it's going to be said. It's going to be said, and it's going to be annoying, and that's what I'm pointing out here. This is something I can get mad about, Frank. This.
Yeah.
Because, fairly or unfairly, yes, Nathan Peterman threw 5 interceptions in the first half of his very first start. Do I think that was a good idea to start him? At the time, yes. Remember, this is the guy who said pudding earlier in this podcast for no reason, other than to say something stupid. But, does that mean that it's something that he's going to do every time? No, that Colts game, he actually looked competent as a starter, and it was snowing 4 feet. I might be using hyperbole
there.
He
was having a good game for the conditions until he got hurt.
Especially in the conditions. He threw a great fade pass for a touchdown to Kelvin Benjamin, and I thought, all right, this game's over.
Yeah.
There's a touchdown in this game. Interesting. All right, then. Defense can lock it up, take this thing home 10-3. We're good to go. Little did I know that you needed to call a timeout to kick all the snow out to help make an extra point to tie a football game.
And then you needed a miracle catch by Deontay Thompson.
From a miracle throw from Joe Webb.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, almost gave the game away for you.
Almost did. And then a LeSean McCoy doing LeSean McCoy things in the snow touchdown.
Yes. But again,
okay, I get the narrative that
and it's going to annoy me.
It's going
to
be annoying. If it's not McCarron because like he's hurt or something
or he plays poorly.
Yeah. And it's between a fifth-round quarterback from the 2017 draft and the guy you just traded up to draft seventh overall. You got to remember, at the same time, it was Josh Allen looked at as a guy who was not going to start week one no matter where he went.
Personally, no. But there are people that think that. There were people that thought that in the draft process, national media in particular. Our guys, like draft community, draft Twitter, none of them said that. But national pundits would say that. And that's where it's going to come from. And that's where my migraine's going to be. And can you buy me the Tylenol when it happens? Better yet, step it up to bleach so I can drink it down. That got dark. There it is. I see it coming. And it's going to annoy the hell out of me. Simple as that.
I'm just fully expecting. I was expecting Peterman to be above Allen on the depth chart regardless.
Yeah, I think that too. He started out with the third string. I mean, as the third string quarterback.
McDermott literally said this like after the draft too, that he's going to start as the third string.
Yeah, Brandon Bean backed it up. The two of them said it.
Yeah.
So I'm not shocked about Josh Allen. I'm not shocked about it. But again, there are going to be people that are, and they're going to throw those takes out. And Skip Bayless may say something stupid about that.
Give it to Skip Bayless.
I know, but he gets paid millions. Where's my millions?
This is all just why I whatever.
It's bull crap.
Just whatever, okay? Just let them say whatever, okay? I know that they get paid the big bucks.
It's going to be annoying. Frank, do you...
I mean, if you tell me...
I don't
want to
answer the phones, man. It's going to happen.
Derek is literally saying he doesn't want to do his job right now.
You're right. I need a vacation, damn it. Where's my freaking comp days?
Yeah.
Struggles of the part-timer. But no,
you know what? Whatever happens, happens.
I'm getting a headache thinking about it. Now it's time to hockey.
Let me end with this. Whatever happens, happens. I don't care.
Well, derp a derp.
I don't care.
Our job and the point of our podcast is to be thought provoking.
I know.
You can't just say whatever happens, happens.
No.
You have to say
whatever
something.
Whatever the national media says, whatever. I don't care. They barely watch the Bills training camp or OTAs regardless anyway. They get most of their stuff from other people anyway. How often is Skip Bayless watching Bills OTAs?
Well, I know that it's not good. OTAs are not watched.
Or training camp.
Unless by beat reporters. Training camp is another thing.
If Nathan Peterman legitimately beats out Josh Allen for the starting QB job because AJ McCarron gets hurt,
I think that whoever
he earns the job.
Yeah. McCarron or Peterman may not necessarily earn the job. This is the realistic scenario.
It might be between those two, though.
One of those two might derp a derp, and Josh Allen might not be ready. It's as simple as that. I've got our starting quarterback. hate this team.
No, I don't.
No, you don't. No, we don't. It's because it's also, and it's also because the national perspective is that when you trade up to draft a quarterback, especially that high, he's expected to start right away.
Milk duds.
All right, I'm going home.
I'm just saying, it's freaking stupid.
Like I will bet you that they're going to say the same thing about Darnold and the Jets.
No, they're not. You don't know why? He's Sam Darnold. But the biggest thing about this is that it's Josh Allen and it's Nathan Peterman. Those are the names in play here. AJ McCarron signed as a free agent with the Bills because a lot of people thought, okay, maybe he might, like, he's looking for a starting job. Nathan Peterman had a historically bad performance. Josh Allen was one of the most polarizing figures in the draft, not named Lamar Jackson. If we had Lamar Jackson, the same freaking thing would be in play.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. Even if Josh Rosen was, but I think that Josh Rosen's more pro-ready and more ready to go. If Josh Rosen did not start ahead of Nathan Peterman, the same freaking thing would be said. Because again, the name that's in play is Nathan Peterman. Nothing against Nathan Peterman. It's what everyone else thinks about him that is going to drive this narrative.
I think that just tells me is that they kind of refuse to think. They look at that one performance and think that's what he is.
Yes.
Which is absolutely ridiculous.
It is.
I think, you know, then they got to soften up their spot on Peterman and think, you know what? He can still get better.
But why do that, Frank, when you can just say, oh, the rookie couldn't beat out some jackass who threw 5 interceptions? That's what narratives are. And that's how narratives work. And that is why
you can, I can say that, but then you could also say, well, let's look at the reasons it happened.
Exactly.
That's what creates talking points, and that's what these guys get paid to do is create talking points.
But that's what it is that people won't look into why it happened. They'll just see that it happened and then just drive a narrative.
Also depends on who. I mean, a lot of you know, the national media guys. There's a lot of guys that are just actually really good at what they do.
There are.
So they'll be like, well, you got to look. You know, Peterman did a lot of really good things in training camp.
I'm preparing for my migraine now so that it's easier to deal with later.
I mean, fair.
You know what helps, though, with headaches?
What?
Ice.
I like the segue.
I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Sure.
Speaking of 7, hopefully 7 games.
Wow. I'm giving that one a 4.
That was worse. Yeah. Speaking of 4, that's how many games you need to win to get the cup, Frank.
I'm giving that a 1.
And it starts with game 1 on Monday, mother. Oh, yeah.
I'm going home.
Cheesy segue combo.
I'm going home now.
Bro, I said pudding, and I put together the worst segue combination of all time for podcasts, and that's a new standard for us. I am on fire today.
And I'm partially battling a cold.
Did you miss me? So game 1.
I need Brayton here.
Did it.
I need Brayton here.
I said it. They were going to do it, and they did it.
They did. They did. They locked it down. Brayton and I were talking about it Wednesday. He picked the Caps as well. He said that they would lock down Tampa. And they did. Tampa just forgot how to score.
The biggest thing is this. They brought the physicality that we haven't really seen too much in the playoffs.
Yeah. They were able to use their speed and their physicality to slow down Tampa.
A defensive scheme that has
I think Tampa kind of beat themselves.
Yes. Now you're looking, though, at two speedy defensive styles. The Vegas Golden Knights get in your defensive core's face when they have the puck in their zone.
Even their forwards are good.
They forecheck you when you've got the puck, and it causes turnovers and it causes mayhem and it allows for quality chances.
This is going to be a fun series.
So there's that. The Capitals have a similar style to them.
Yeah.
A lot of what these teams do are similar. The defense, of course, not necessarily the greatest in Vegas. Oh, that's fine. All they've got in Washington is John Carlson, and sometimes Dmitry Orlov shows up really well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a spectacular all around roster. There are stars like Jonathan Marchessault and William Karlsson there. Well, there's Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alex Ovechkin. They're leading the points in playoffs. Kuznetsov, 23. Ovechkin, 21. Two goalies that are playing out of their minds. Marc-Andre Fleury's got a career high in postseason goals against and save percentage, and is a favorite for the Conn Smythe. Yep.
Brayden Holtby, back-to-back shutouts.
Brayden Holtby hasn't had a goal scored on him since the second period of Game 5.
Yeah.
There's a lot of common ground between these two teams, and here's the reason I'm picking the Capitals, other than because of my stupid heart. And it's this. Washington can hit you and play hockey. Ryan Reeves can hit somebody. And yes, he scored the series-deciding goal and made me look stupid. Again, common themes. But Ryan Reeves doesn't often do the second part of that. That goal-scoring thing. Alex Ovechkin will run you over. And then open up for the one-timer in the left hash, and it's over. Your goalie doesn't have a chance. It's only based on the fact of, does he hit it accurately enough to hit the net? Because when it hits his stick, it's going in. You're not getting in the way of it. It's either missing the net or it's behind you in the net. One way or another, goalie, it's behind you. You got to deal with it.
So you're going Caps.
I'm going Caps because they can bring the skill and they bring the physicality that Vegas has yet to really have to combat with. They had a 4-game series with the Kings. The only thing the Kings know how to do well is hit people.
They didn't really
and play defense.
Yeah.
And they didn't even really hit them in that first series. Why? It was 4 games.
And it was only Quick who played well.
Yeah. But guess what? Now they have to deal with the Caps being able to hit you. Vegas is going to get theirs. Why? Because Vegas has continued to make me have to just back up my words. Said the Jets were going to take over. Nope. Huh. I wanted the Sharks to... Well, I wanted the Sharks to win because I wanted a first-round pick. We could talk about that in a second because I haven't had my chance to say my thoughts on that.
Okay.
Washington brings a combination that Vegas can't necessarily match to a T in one aspect, and that's the physicality. They have speed. They have skill. Washington has speed. Washington has skill. Not as much speed, but they have the skill to match. They also can hit you, pick up the puck, and slam it home. That is where I think Vegas is going to have their problem, is because they haven't had to deal with that dynamic. They got to go ahead and play in a defensive matchup with the Kings only because Jonathan Quick decided to go save for save with Marc-Andre Fleury. They didn't have to play a physical style with the San Jose Sharks because San Jose decided to try to run track with them. They didn't have to play physical against the Winnipeg Jets because the Jets play a skill game and the Vegas Golden Knights could do the same thing. They're going to have to deal with Alex Ovechkin. They're going to have to deal with Tom Wilson, which, as much as I don't like that meathead sometimes, still gets points, still able to rock on a line with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov. You've got 3 center deep. With Backstrom back and Lars Eller playing well for the most part.
Yep.
Their supporting cast has finally not sucked for the likes of Ovechkin and Holtby.
Yeah. Oshie's been solid. The power play's been great.
TJ Oshie's another guy. He's going to hit you and then he's going to finish a play for you.
Oshie's been solid and the power play's been great.
Because guess what you have to do on the power play? You got to look out for number 8 in the left circle.
It's true.
So Karlsson, who can direct the traffic, along with Backstrom, along with Kuznetsov. Good Lord, the passers on that group.
Oshie's in front of the net.
Oshie's right in front of the net, sitting there in the slot by himself because you've got a guy forgetting, like,
you
not closing the box
because
he's watching out for Ovechkin.
Yeah.
He's trying to stay in that passing lane. And Kuznetsov and Backstrom are going to get you to move.
Yep.
Karlsson's going to get you to move. But once it goes down low to the bottom of the goal mouth for Backstrom, it's probably going to Oshie because you probably messed up. Good night. Slap it home, Oshie. And then when teams decide to converge because, well, dude, there's some dude hanging out in the slot, Karlsson's going to see number 8, stick up.
Yeah.
Go good night. Like I said, puck's in the net.
So you have Washington in how many games?
I'm going to take 6 games.
So they're going to win it at home.
They're going to win. Oh, my God. That would be awesome for them.
Okay.
As much as I would hate to see Washington get there and get that cup, I don't hate it, actually. As much as fans, Sabres fans, could hate a team, it's going to happen. There's going to be a new team with the cup.
A team who is younger than the Sabres.
But I'd rather see it be a Washington Capitals team that has been in this playoff run. And I just think it would be awesome for Ovechkin and Backstrom and Holtby and the supporting cast that's been there get their cup.
It would.
And I would like for karma to finally bite George McPhee for trading Philip Forsberg for Martin Erak. Good. Oh my God, Washington would be unstoppable.
I mean, karma kind of did bite him. He got fired from his job.
But then he got the Golden Knights, and now they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. Did it really bite him? Or did it say sorry?
I mean, he kind of made up for himself,
I guess. But
okay,
I think that Washington gets this.
Okay.
And I do find it funny that it's the two teams that McPhee built.
Yeah, it's true. This is true. That's what it is. So, looking at the stats, looking at how both teams play, I got to go Vegas. I have to. They look unstoppable. They've lost 3 games in the playoffs. They are 12-3 right now. They have had their longest series was 6 games. They haven't had to play a 7-game series. 4, 5, and 6 games have been their series so far. This Vegas team reminds me of, not exact, but they are playing like the 2012 Kings team, who rolled through the playoffs and rolled their way to the finals to win their first cup. And that Kings team was an 8 seed. They weren't the very last team in like the Preds were last year, but they were an 8 seed because they beat Vancouver in round 1 in 5 games. They swept the Blues. And then they went 5 games with the Coyotes, who were on their own Cinderella run. And then they beat the Devils in 6 games. And all 3 of those series, that Kings team was up 3 games to none. They won the first 3 games in that series. And why was that? Well, number 1, their goalie, John the Quick, was a god. Was literally a god that the whole playoffs.
Figuratively.
He was literally a god.
Figuratively.
He was a god. But what else that team did really well was they played lockdown defense. They were blocking shots. They were getting sticks in the lane. They were strong forecheckers. They had speed. You remember, you had Mike Richards before he went on a big downhill spiral.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, it is.
That was mean.
You have Jeff Carter, who scores goals. You have Anze Kopitar. You had Dustin Brown before he took a downward spiral and then came back up this year. They had speed on their in their depth, in their bottom six. Up and down the lineup, there was speed there in terms of certain players. And they played a strong forechecking game. They played a lockdown defense. And Jonathan Quick made almost every single save. He had like a .950 save percentage that playoffs. It was something close to that. It was probably more closer to .945. This Vegas team reminds me of that. Fleury is playing like a god. What's Fleury's save percentage right now in the playoffs? .946?
It's something bad.
It's ridiculous. He's playing like a god right now. He's playing like a literal god. Their defense, it's not spectacular. There's no real stars. But everyone's doing their job. Everyone is doing their part. The Penguins won back-to-back cups. Last year, they didn't have Letang. And they still won the cup. And they had all those injuries on defense. Still won the cup. Their best defenseman during the cup final was, I think, Brian Dumoulin. Vegas' best defenseman right now, I think, is Shea Theodore. And Shea Theodore is really good. But he should not be their best defenseman. Derek England is playing top 4 minutes.
Why?
Nate Schmidt is playing top 2 minutes.
Oh, God. Nate Schmidt, the cap.
Yeah, former cap, too. Everyone is doing their part. Everyone is, they've bought into the system. They've bought into the coaching staff. And their forwards are some of the best forechecking forwards I've ever seen. The second the Caps are going to be along the boards, whether it's in their end or the Vegas' end, there's going to be one or two guys on them right away looking to force a takeaway.
Yeah. No, I...
And their forwards have the speed to match, to be better. Their forwards are more faster than Washington's.
I will agree with that. They have the speed advantage. I think the Caps have the physicality advantage. And at the end of the day, the goalies are a push.
I think the goal... I got no. I don't think the goalies... No. Okay.
It's a decent argument to make.
It's a decent argument. I think it's very close to a push, but I give the edge to Fleury. Defense, in terms of the players on defense, it's a close push. I'll give the edge to Washington. Forwards, I mean, you have Ovechkin. Ovechkin's going to be the best forward out there, regardless.
Yes, that's the thing, is that I think that the Caps have the highest end talent, though. Yes, Marchessault and Carlson and Riley Smith have been good. They've been really good. Ovechkin and Kuznetsov are the two best players of the postseason that are left. And it's
and remember,
not close.
This Vegas
talent.
Team, after they swept the Kings, had to face the Sharks, who have Logan Couture, who have Joel Pavelski, who have Evander Kane, who they just re-signed. Then they beat them. They keep winning. Then they face the Jets, who have Patrick Laine, who have Nikolaj Ehlers, who have Blake Wheeler, who have Mark Scheifele. Mark Scheifele, by the way, scored 14 goals in the playoffs. Kyle Connor was amazing, was really good. They had probably the best center core in Scheifele, Little, and Stastny. Connor Hellebuyck was playing amazing.
Well, he stopped playing amazing. That was part of the problem.
That was part of it.
He kept giving the puck away. He should have just stopped playing it.
The biggest thing that Vegas does, their forecheck forces you to make mistakes.
Yes, I agree.
It will force the Caps to make mistakes.
Dmitry Orlov is on their defensive core. It's going to happen. He's going to make a mistake.
Taking the Vegas Golden Knights to win this series in 5 games.
Roughshod and only average a loss
it's
per
gonna
series.
Be, here's the thing. Just like the Kings in 2012, they went 16-4 in the playoffs. I think Vegas is going to do the same thing. Here's the thing. Vegas is just playing too good. We have been doubting Vegas all year. We were, you know, when the Vegas shooting happened before the season started, you thought, okay, they'll have some momentum. They'll probably win a few games, have some momentum, but they'll come back down to earth. They're not that good of a team. They keep winning. December comes around. They're going to fall down to earth at some point. There's no way they keep it up.
They lost Subban. They lost Danks.
They lost Legacy. They were down to their fifth goalie from the juniors. They keep winning.
I know. I just... It's not
that... Yes, they make the trade for Tatar. They keep winning. At some point, they're going to fall. They're going to falter, and their true colors are going to show. They keep winning. William Karlsson scores 43 goals. Jonathan Marchessault has a 70-point year and now gets re-signed to a $5 million contract for 6 years.
How team-friendly
what a
is that,
team-friendly contract that is, by the way.
Florida, why did you do this?
They win the division. They win 50 games in their first year.
Florida gave that man up.
Florida gave that man up.
And then they traded Riley Smith, too.
So, yeah, Florida gives up, you know, Riley Smith and Marchessault. Okay. But the whole narrative of Vegas' season was that they were going to lose. This was a tank year for them. This is where they're going to build with their draft picks and build for the, build for 5 years from now.
Yeah.
They win.
I understand
this. They keep the playoffs start. They win the division. They're playing the Kings in round one. Oh, the Kings are look. The Kings are looking really good. You know, they're going to play that lockdown defense. Quick's had a good year. They're going to play pretty similar to how they done in years past in the playoffs. And they're probably going to upset the Kings. They get swept.
Yeah.
Vegas sweeps them. Kings score 3 goals in 4 games.
And then just to do one better, their first game against the Sharks, they put up a touchdown.
The Sharks. Oh, the Sharks can match them with their speed. They got the physicality. They get that big Evander Kane at the trade deadline, able to get him, and he's been playing great for them. Martin Jones looked really good in round one. They swept the Ducks. Vegas takes them out in 6. And yeah, 7-0 in the first game. Then they played the Jets, and the Jets ran over them in the first game. Then they win 4 straight. Everyone thought, "Oh, this has to be it for Vegas after round one." You said it.
After the Jets game one, I am very, very on record and very guilty.
They they keep winning.
I get that, but Frank, answer me this question:
what
do you believe in when it's someone's year? I think this might be it, pertaining to what you're saying, but do you believe when it's someone's year?
Yes.
How this is where it's going to be. One of us naturally is going to be wrong here.
Yeah, one of us is going to be wrong.
But I'm going to back Ovechkin here. I'm going to back the team.
I want Ovechkin to win. I love him. He's one of my favorite players to watch.
Because here's
the
problem between. Here's the difference between you and me, and it's probably one of my biggest problems, Frank. I use my heart. Shane Falco, miles and miles of heart. Okay? I believe that it is truly the Capitals' year, because here's the biggest thing about Washington in the past. Adversity comes and strikes, they crumble. I thought that they were cooked in round one when they were starting Philip Grubauer.
And then they were down 2-0 to Columbus.
Once they put Braden Holtby in net, though, I didn't necessarily count Washington out. Because...
You can't.
Because the man... For as bad of a season as he's had, always shows up to the dance. And he did.
I think Ovechkin's going to show up. He's going to be there.
I'm talking about Holtby.
Okay. Okay. Holtby too.
Showed up. And the biggest thing of the past failures, why Ovechkin and Backstrom and Holtby could never get over the hump, was because no one else showed up.
And now they have.
This year, everyone's doing something.
Yeah. No,
you're getting
I'm
goals
with you.
From Jay Beagle. Stevenson, Smith-Pelly.
Smith-Pelly has been scoring goals.
Tom Wilson has a decent... Tom Wilson's got double-digit points despite being suspended for 3 games. Lars Eller has 15.
Yeah. No, I...
This team is playing like a team. Instead of it just being Alex Ovechkin and Nick Backstrom, Evgeny Kuznetsov leads the league in playoffs points right now. Everyone has finally... done what the Caps roster was supposed to do 2 years ago. Everyone stepped
up. 5 years ago.
Everyone has stepped up.
Here's
this is
thing.
Not that President's Trophy winner. This is a team that has been through it. They are fighting through it. And now they see a problem, they plow over it. And that is where I think Vegas will not stop them.
What was the question that you would just ask me?
About a team, if it's really their year.
I think it's Vegas' year.
And I understand that. Because again, everything that you had said,
everything you have just said about the Caps, you can apply to Vegas.
What adversity has Las Vegas suffered in the playoffs?
Well, this is their first year, but the whole narrative of this year for them has been they're not going to win. They're supposed to lose.
Yes,
this is their first year. They're supposed to lose. Like people were saying they have to lose. Because that's what expansion teams do in their first year.
It's an unstoppable force versus an immovable object at this point. The Capitals have proven to now be able to plow through the adversity that normally they would crumble under. And not just plow through it,
When I said everything you had just said about the Caps, you can apply to Vegas. I was also talking about, they are playing like a team. They are doing everything together. Everyone is playing their part. And they are And
my
the guys stepping up.
This.
And the guys who should be stepping up are stepping up.
My question to you for you is this.
What's that?
I picked the Caps to have a long series. Why did you pick five? There's my question. This is going to be awesome.
I think it's going to be a fun series. I think it's going to be...
Don't ruin it, Vegas, with a stupid little five-game set.
Here's the reason I picked five. Here's the reason I picked five games. I think you see five games of strong back-and-forth hockey, a lot of fast-paced action. You're going to see a lot of big hits. You're going to see a lot of big saves. You're going to see a lot. You're going to see some goals. I think it's going to be... It's either going to be a low, really low scoring, as in 2-1, or it's going to be high scoring, as in 5-4. You may not see the in between. So what did I just say there? I think all the five games are going to be really, really close, as in one or two bounces goes the way of it, how I think it's going to be Vegas, and they take that game when it looks like it should have been Washington who wins. And I'm saying that this is going to be a series where it's going to be closer than you think, but I think Vegas pulls through winning four out of the five.
You know what? To me,
a good
Stanley Cup final.
Oh, if this series goes seven games, I'm going to love every single minute of it. It's just that I think the way Vegas is playing, they're a casino city. They are a city that has casinos on every block. They are creating their own luck.
All right, there it is.
They are have all of the luck is going their way.
Culture.
The culture, yeah. But that's just what's been going on.
I get that. And I still think you're wrong.
That's fair.
Look,
believe me,
they're going to have one of those stupid games that's going to bounce against them. And you know what's going to happen? Ovechkin, left circle, arms up.
It might only be for one game, though.
Good night.
Just that one game, though.
I'm just saying.
You have to remember, too.
They have dealt with this crap this postseason. They've dealt with it every postseason. The only difference is...
They have to beat...
Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't have Sidney Crosby bailing him out this time.
Yeah, he's got William Karlsson bailing him out.
That is not...
He's got Jonathan Marchessault.
That is not the same thing, and you know that. How dare you? They only have... Hang on.
Okay. What?
Only TJ Oshie remains from the former Blues on the Caps,
on the
right?
Caps?
Yeah. Right? Because they had Shattenkirk. They got... He walked. Yeah.
No, Eller's a former Blue.
Okay, so there's two there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, then again.
Although, I don't think Eller really played for... It was really early in his career. He was drafted by the Blues. Because then he was part of the trade that brought Halak to St. Louis.
Right.
After his miracle
run in Montreal.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm just saying, like, you know, there's no Blues curse really hanging over Washington anymore. No, I kid there. Look,
it's just
I think that this is a team that
everything. I just think everything is going right for Vegas, and it's going to continue that way. Marc-Andre Fleury is literally carrying that team. He has been the backbone of the Golden Knights all year. Even when he was hurt, he's still been the backbone of that team. He has not shown any signs of slowing down.
I will say,
and everybody on Vegas
for
is
Washington,
playing
though,
their part.
The good news is for Washington, they played a guy who was standing on his head. They still put him up.
Well, Vasilevskiy also kind of beat himself.
I know, but they still put him up.
If they can get Fleury at least open up a little bit.
They bounce him one game, I think that does it.
If they can bounce him
for one game... We might see some good old vintage Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs.
If Fleury opens up,
they never cracked him.
Yeah.
Bad news is that Washington never cracked him.
Yeah.
Look, either way, George McPhee is getting a ring. I kid, obviously. George McPhee, best GM ever.
Yeah.
He put two teams in the Stanley Cup Finals. Could you imagine that team with Philip Forsberg, though?
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we've gone long here.
It's been a long
because we're arguing with each other.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much the same point. The only difference is I'm picking a team in red.
You're going with your heart.
Yes. Sometimes that's a bad idea.
My heart says watch. We agree, though. The heart goes to Washington.
At least I'm logically explaining why the Caps are good.
Right, but all your points, I would make those same points for Washington as well. I just, my brain says Vegas because everything you can say about the Caps, you can also apply to Vegas for this year with the strong forecheck. Vegas is a faster team than Washington is.
But I know that the way that they played
and their forecheck is so strong.
I know, but the way that they played Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh over these last two rounds, teams with speed, teams that Pittsburgh in particular, teams that wanted to mimic
Pittsburgh also did beat themselves.
They did beat themselves because Crystal Tank forgot how to play defense. Yeah. But again, my biggest thing is the way that they neutralized speed was big. It was one of the big key factors in how they got through those two rounds.
Yeah, it was.
And I think that they can use this blueprint to win some games.
I think that's
fair. I don't think it'll be five games. If Vegas wins, Vegas wins. But Vegas is going to have to earn this one.
I say five games, but I think this is going to be one of those real grinded out five games where...
So you're thinking it might be a Boston five-game elimination more than anything, where they played well enough to hang for a seven-game series, but they just got ousted in five?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's more where I'm going at.
I think that this is going to... Look, I think that Vegas can match their loss total from the entire playoffs in this round, and it won't surprise me at all.
It wouldn't surprise me, too.
But I also think that that's also their best-case scenario, is that they win it in seven. This series goes deep.
I hope it does. I just want because
I'm not going to guarantee it.
I'm not ready for the season to end.
Ah, hell yes, I am.
I'm not ready. I want to keep watching.
I'm guaranteeing it. This series goes six games or seven games. I don't want to hear a damn thing about it.
Okay.
If Washington sweeps Vegas, and I look moronic somehow, and it makes us both look stupid. If Washington sweeps Vegas,
or Vegas sweeps Washington,
well, at least you would have picked a quick series for Vegas then.
Yeah.
The only way that this can make us both look stupid is if Washington sweeps Vegas. Why? Because I also just said that that's the parameters for us to both look stupid.
Yeah.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, by the way.
Yes.
Because, you know, look, Frank and I are a pair of idiots, okay? Let's be real about this. But you know, thank you to all the men and women who have served, are serving, and will serve. Thank you to the men and women that have served, to the families of those that have served as well, because it's not just trying on those individuals, it's trying on the families as well. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend so that, you know, I mean, I'll never understand why we get a long weekend for that, because you should be remembering these people every day, you know. But at the same time, it is what it is. This is America. We have our silly little things. Enjoy your hot dogs like Phil Kessel. And look, I think it's going to be... Let's just review today. It's going to be Cavs Warriors again. LeBron's going to win one game for LeBron reasons.
Yeah.
Stop comparing MJ to LeBron. Stop comparing LeBron to MJ. I hate what's coming because of whatever happens with the Bills starting quarterback situation. And Washington over Vegas in the Cup final.
No, Vegas over
there
Washington.
There is my hot take checklist
Vegas
today.
Vegas over Washington.
That is
did
it.
You also, real quick too, did you also see, you know, the Welcome to Las Vegas, that like famous sign?
That was photoshopped.
Was that? I don't care. That is hilarious. And they really should have done
that. I do like that their City of Las Vegas Twitter account is literally using no capital letters
exactly
for any of their tweets.
That's great. It's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
It's fantastic. I love it.
I kind of want Washington to just type in all capital letters.
Well, their hashtag is all caps.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no, like when the team.
Oh, when they
like
tweet.
Anytime they tweet, it's got to be
have they done
in
that?
The internet. It's got to be.
Have they done that?
We're about to play game one!
Have they done that, like, since they won the Prince Wales Trophy?
I don't think so, but...
I'm gonna look at their Twitter.
It would just be hilarious to see a team tweeting out in all caps the internet version of yelling. Have they? You're smiling like they have.
They have in certain points.
So they're just actually...
So, 6 hours ago, they tweeted... The Caps Twitter tweeted, and it's off to Vegas for a Stanley Cup final. So it's just like, you know, it's normal and stuff. But then, their recent tweets... Well, that's NBC Sports Caps. Okay. But game prep, it's all caps.
Oh, boy. I'm excited.
And then, game one ready, all caps.
Oh, no. This is going to be great.
And then that's from a couple days ago.
That's a pinned tweet?
Yeah. So, they're basically doing it.
Let's do it.
It's going to be fun.
I think I'm going to type in all capital letters when I watch these games.
I'm going to type in all lowercase.
There you go. That's our stupidity for you on full measure. By the way,
Vegas's Twitter account is typing as normal.
I doubt that.
No, like it's normal. Like there are, like they're. You know,
I doubt that that's going to stick.
That's not going to. Yeah, when the series starts, it's going to be all lowercase.
You better bet it will.
I love Twitter.
All right,
Twitter can be great sometimes.
Twitter can be great sometimes. I had to remind Sal that sometimes Twitter is not so great.
Yeah.
Champions League thing happened. That was a thing.
That was fun.
That was fun. Apparently.
I listened to it. It was fun.
I have no idea. And I'm never going to pretend like I have a clue.
Yeah.
All right. I think, dude, we went long today. And I liked it. Hey, okay. I mean, we actually kind of stuck to our plans this time.
Yeah.
We didn't bounce from thing to thing. Yeah. I'm kind of impressed.
Yeah. It's true.
It's bad that I have to point that out. This has been the Leftovers Podcast on WGR550.com. Thanks, as always, for listening. Even though we constantly make fun of ourselves, we always do appreciate when we do have our listeners, we do get the support. And, of course, you know, anytime you're listening, it means the world to us. Check out the shows. Check out audio from Bill's OTAs. That's a thing. We're off on Memorial Day. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your Memorial Day. Hey, hope you're listening on Memorial Day. Enjoy your hot dogs, hamburgers, your screaming families. Later.